Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the kickoff of our brand new series, Love Lies. We're going to be looking at some of the lies that are prevalent in our society and our culture around the issues of love. And we're going to believe that God's word is going to bring truth to those areas. And the Bible says that the truth brings freedom. And believing for great things in your world. But before we jump in, I want to remind everybody today is Next Step 3. And we have next classes, we always say it like this, you give us 4 weekends, we'll move you from the crowd to the core of our church. We'll help you get connected, we'll help you find a great place to serve. And step 3 is all about you discovering your gifts and your talents and who God's made you to be so you can serve with purpose and make a difference. And so we'd love for you to hang out. It's right after service. We even got snacks and food, childcare, all that good stuff. So we'd love for you to hang out. And then also want to encourage everybody, our Vision Builders Gala is coming up. If you've never been, it does cost money. I think it's $100, but it is a party, massive party, and really to help you understand what it is. It's for the people of our church to rally around to hear even more than what we explained last weekend during Vision Sunday, and to rise above and beyond just tithing to giving generously to see the vision accelerate. Because we have a firm belief at our church, the pace of our church moves at its people's generosity, and we're believing for God to do great things. 2020. A house of transformation. How many of you believe it? It's going to be great. So if you got your Bibles with me, 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Now, I want to preface before we jump into this passage of Scripture, this may be one of the weirdest stories in the Bible. Okay? It's a little weird. It's a little provocative, actually. It's a little shocking. A little dark, almost, in some areas. But what I found is some of the weird or hard to digest parts of Scripture are some of the ones that are most power-packed with real solutions for our life, because it shows the best and the worst of humanity. And this is kind of one of those passages. So 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to read 15 verses. And here's what it says. In the course of time, Amnon, son of David, fell in love with Tamar, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Now, I want you to just not read over that for a moment, because Amnon and Absalom are brothers. They just have a different mother. So that means Tamar is actually the sister of Amnon, who's fell in love with her. So everybody's seen where this is going, right? It's about to get weird up in here. All right. Amnon became so obsessed with his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, or he was lovesick. She was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. Now, Amnon had an advisor named Jonadab, son of Shimei, David's brother. Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He asked Amnon, "What do you, the king's son, look so haggard or sad each morning after morning? Won't you tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." So here's the advice of his advisor. "Go to bed and pretend you're ill," Jonadab said. "When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so that I may watch her and then eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon laid down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, "I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so I may eat from her hand." David sent word to Tamar at the palace, "Go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him." So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, and made some bread in his sight and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread, but he refused to eat it. "Send everyone out of here," Amnon said. So everyone left him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into my bedroom so I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the bread she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. And when she took it to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, "Come to bed with me, my sister." "No, my brother," she said to him, "don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing." What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. But he refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. And here's the key verse that I want you to see. Then Amnon hated her with an intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he loved her. Really kind of a shocking, really thought-provoking, kind of a little bit bizarre and weird and gross story in the Bible, but I think it's going to speak to you in your situation, believe it or not. And today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought: big little lies. Big little lies, not just the TV show. It's my sermon today. Big little lies. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence that is so real. God, I pray that your word would teach us, train us what it means to walk in true love. Lord, I pray if anybody is going through a difficult situation in this place, relationally, mentally, God, I pray that today would be a day that they would leave with new faith in their heart, new optimism for life, and a new sense of commitment that you're leading and guiding and they can trust your word. And Lord, we thank you while we have you for beautiful sunshine and anything over 45, Lord, we're good with. It's a beautiful day, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, 11 a.m., if we love Jesus, let's put our hands together for him. Come on, we can do a little bit better than that. So I've got a question for you. Have you ever tried to fix something with the wrong tools? Come on, where's my guys at? Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you have something around the house to fix, but you just don't quite have the right tools. The other day, my wife came to me, and she said, hey, around our kitchen table, one of our chairs, the big screw that kind of holds the chair leg in had come loose. So the chair was wobbly. Now I'm not really a handy guy. I know when you look at me, you're like, man, I bet that guy could build a house. But I can't. I'm not really handy. In fact, most of the time, if I have anything above a Phillips screwdriver, I call my dad. I'm basically a 12-year-old boy. And so this is one of those scenarios, but this was my moment because I'm like, this is just a screw in a chair and my wife, like, I'm going to be her man. You know what I mean? So I went to the closet and I got my Black & Decker tool bag from Walmart. Like, you're not a real man if you have a Black & Decker tool bag from Walmart. You know what I mean? Like none of the guys want to raise their hands for that one. You know what I mean? Like real men, they don't shop at Walmart for power tools. But I have them from Walmart. And it's a great little, it's a cute little bag. And it's got a great little stuff in it. And so I bring my bag out. You know what I mean? I'm feeling real manly. I'm like, I got this, girl. Don't you worry. You know what I mean? Like, and so I flip over the chair. And when I flip over the chair, I look at the screw to see what kind of screw head it is. Now for all the guys in here, or girls in here, I just have one thing that I would like to see happen before I die to go to heaven, is that we can mandate across the world just a single kind of screw head. Is it going to be Phillips? Is it going to be regular? Is it going to be Allen wrench? Like, can we just pick one, okay? Who do we have to write for that? You know what I mean? Like, I think that should be a prime, like, candidate promise in 2020. Whoever's running with that on their platform, that's who I'm voting for, you know? But I look at this screw on the chair, and it's neither of those three. It's a square. A square. Who owns a square wrench? Okay, you obviously shop at Home Depot. Okay, I shop at Walmart. I go through my little Black & Decker bag. There's no tool to be found in sight. And so, like any man, you try to MacGyver the thing, right? You're like, okay, there's something in here. It may not be the right tool, but I can make it work. And so I found an Allen wrench that looked the most appropriate to the size. And this screw's like really long, so I'm trying to do it, and it's working at the beginning. I'm like, ooh, I got this. I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, what you think? It's going in. And then finally it got to the point where it's like really, really hard, and I was like tired. So I was like, man, I'm just going to use... I was tired, you know? So I was like, that's why God made drills. And so I pulled the drill out and I put the bit in the drill, the Allen wrench, and you know what I mean? And so, and what I didn't know is you got to torque down the drill. Like, I had it on like supercharged power. It's my manly language, like supercharged power. And so I didn't torque it down. And so I put it in and I start to drill. And all of a sudden this thing just like takes off. And pretty soon my circle becomes my square becomes a circle. The Allen wrench just ripped through it. The screw doesn't move. And now I've had a very bad situation. A broken chair became a whole lot worse. Because now I got a screw that I can't get out of the chair and I don't know what to do. And I was thinking about this and I was thinking that this is really a representation, I think, of a lot of people's relationships. They don't really have the right tools. They really don't have the right understanding of how relationships work. And so what ends up happening is they use the wrong tool in the wrong way, and they take something that's kind of bad and they make it a whole lot worse. Here's what I want you to understand. This is the way I wrote it in my journal this week. Something is bound to break when you use it in a way it was never intended to be used. So if we don't understand love, if we don't first and foremost understand that God is love, so we wouldn't even know what love was unless there was God. But beyond that, God is also the creator of relationships. Here's what I would tell you is that imagine if I wouldn't have just went down the path that I did. I stopped for a moment, got the instruction manuals out, figured out what size of square wrench that I needed. I got up off my lazy behind. I went to Home Depot because that's where men shop. And I got me a square wrench and I came home. You know what I would have? I would have a brand new tool and a perfectly good chair. Instead, right now, and what I have in my house is a wobbly chair that we have to tell people not to sit on. Because something's bound to break when you use it in a way it was never intended. And I'm watching people, they don't have a biblical revelation of what love is or how to function in relationships. Instead, what they've got is a whole bunch of wobbly chairs, and they're wondering why it's not working the way they want it to. And today, as we dive into this first message, God really asked me to go here to this place first, and I really didn't want to because I was like, God, I don't want to speak on that in the Love Life series, the first message. Can I like warm up? Can we have a warm up? Can we talk about speed dating or something fun, you know? And God goes, no, I want you to go after this topic. And I think when we hear the word that I'm going to kind of go after today, and I mean that in the best possible light, there's going to be a million things that come to your mind, a million definitions, a million thoughts. Some people are going to think, oh, I definitely got a problem with that. Some people are going to think, oh, I don't have a problem with that. But it's a real simple word. It's a real simple word that is also four letters that also starts with love. And here's what it is. It's just lust. Like, I think when we hear that word, right, like, immediately people are like, oh, pastor, it's going to be one of those days, huh? You know, like, I think when we hear the word, there's a lot of things that kind of come to mind. Like, there's like, a lot of people would say, oh, lust. Oh, like, yeah, like, you mean like pornography. And immediately when we hear the word lust, the first association that we make is sex. But nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that lust is sex. In fact, I think we've put it in that category because we haven't got a proper definition of what it is. All we do is try to keep the bad sexual stuff at bay, but what we realize is that we can't keep it at bay because we don't truly understand it because it didn't start with sex, it started way back here. And so if we understand like what lust is, then we can overcome it. You first have to identify something in order to overcome something. And so I want to give you a little bit of a working definition today about lust. And I think it's really going to help. Really, number one, alleviate some guilt, but actually get you some truth. Lust is using someone as an instrument for your own satisfaction. So that broadens the brush really far. Did you realize you can have a lot of lust in a marriage? And it have nothing to do with sex. Because we walk into a marriage and we say, hey, you're supposed to fulfill this need in me. You're supposed to bring this level of satisfaction in me. And when you don't, now I'm angry because you are not able to fulfill the lust that I had or the desire that I had. Doesn't that reframe the word? In fact, I think a reason a lot of marriages end is because there is a lot of lust. There's a lot of expectations for somebody to meet a need that only God can in our world. And when we hear this word, you know, lust, I think in our culture today, lust and love have gotten confused. That there's a lot of misconceptions around the word lust and what it actually means and how we function it more than we think we do. And the word love and what it actually means to love. Like here's what I want you to understand. Culture is confusing, but God's word brings clarity. So if we're going to wade through some of this stuff and actually learn how to function in our relationships, it can't be based on what our grandmother said or, you know, what the dating article that I read said. It has to be based on something greater than that. It has to be based on God's word. Like, I want you to see some of the crazy things where our language doesn't match the outcome that we want, okay? Have you ever heard somebody say, like, oh, we just fell out of love? Like, we just fell out of love. And I get what they're trying to say, but just think about the language. When's the last time you got in your car, you shut the door, and then you fell out of your car? So you made a choice to get in, you shut the door, and then like, you fell out of the car. I'm like, really? Are you sure you didn't open the door? Are you sure somebody else didn't open up the door? You don't fall out of a car, you step out of a car. You don't fall out of love, you step out of love. You ever heard somebody say, hey, oh, homeboy stepped out on her? I think that's actually more of a definition of what it actually means, because you don't fall out of love. Like, it was an accident, you know what I mean? Like, nobody falls out of a moving car on accident. You know what I mean? You either open the door or somebody else opens the door. But as long as the door's shut, you're going to stay in the car. You fall out of love. Our language just doesn't match what actually is going on. How about the reverse of that? We fell in love. We just fell in love. Like, here's my question. When did falling become a positive? Like, when's the last time you went outside and, you know, we had a little ice storm and you forgot to put some ice melt out, and you walk out and you're like, hey, Ned, you know, wave at the neighbor, and then you like walk out and you're like, you know, you come and there's ice and you slip and fall, boom, you hit the ground, you're like, praise Jesus. Oh, Ned, did you see that? How good was that? Ain't nobody falls like me. That was on cue. That was with excellence. That was on purpose. Like, when did falling? Like, our language doesn't match what we actually want to happen. Like, you don't fall in love. You choose love. You're dedicated to love. You move towards love. We write songs about love. Like, and I swear by the moon, stars in the sky, I'll be there, I'll be there, I swear, oh, that's by your side, I'll be there, for better or worse, see how many of you know it, death do us part, I love you with death. I swear. We haven't done that in any of the other services, so that was awesome. I swear. Such hyperbole. I swear, really? I swear? We got a lot of people swearing on the love that they fell in. I want to give you just a little stats, okay? And this isn't like a gotcha stat, just information, okay, that I think is helpful. 50% of marriages end in divorce. 1/3 of marriages suffer from an affair. Men ages 24 through 44 will have somewhere between the average of 6 to 7 sexual partners. That's the average. Women, 4 to 5 sexual partners. You know what this tells me? Is we got a lot of people falling into love, and because they fell into it, they don't know how to stay in love. And really what I want you to see is I'm not really sure that they fell into love. I think they fell into lust. And that's how they find themselves. Some people's lust wears off in a night. Some people's lust wears off in a couple years. But the reality is, when it comes to the place of actually having to make a decision for better or worse, I will love you with all my heart. I will stick in the good and the bad. They don't have that strength because that's not what got them into the relationship. So it's not going to be what keeps them in the relationship. And the devil comes on the backside of this and presents lust as love. And he presents this even deeper lie. It's the big little lie I want to talk to you about today. If you find who I'm looking for, if I find who I'm looking for, then I'll be fulfilled. And that's ultimately where it's coming from. It's not just sexual needs that lead to lust. It's so much deeper than that. It's this feeling of I don't have all that I need. I'm inadequate, which, by the way, God built you that way. The Bible says that God has put eternity in the hearts of man. What is he saying? There's a God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill, but we spend our time lusting after something, what, as an object for our own satisfaction to try to fill that void. And God's saying the big little lie is that somebody else can do it. If I find who I'm looking for, then I'll be fulfilled. And that's where we pick up in our story in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Just to give you a little refresher, it's kind of a shocking, bizarre story, but we got this guy named Amnon. He has a brother named Absalom, okay? Absalom has a sister named Tamar. Amnon falls in love with Tamar, or falls in lust with Tamar, okay? And the story goes that he's fell into such lust love that it's actually made him sick. He's actually become ill. I'm just going to pause here and give a little bit of relational advice to anybody who wants it. It's totally free. Unless you want to send some money, I'm thankful to take it. But here it is. If your relationship is making you sick, there is a problem. All right, everybody, bow your heads. Let's go home. It's not rocket science. But you know how many people I've sat down and counseled, and they are torturing themselves. They are filled with poison. They are ill. It's not the relationship. If your relationship's making you sick, there's probably a problem. And now many of us in this room, we would go, hey, I've never been sick like Amnon. Like, that guy's sick. And I would agree with you. He's sick on multiple levels. You know what I mean? But you have to understand, what made him sick was an obsession. Like, it was an obsession in this thing called love that sickened him and poisoned the relationship. Now, a lot of people go, oh, man, I've never been, like, you know, love sick like Amnon, where it, like, made me physical sick. Well, let me ask a couple questions here that I think may be helpful. Ladies, and I see this a lot because I do a lot of counseling. The girl is looking to the guy to fulfill a need in herself. So what that means is that he alone holds the key to her fulfillment or success. Therefore, he becomes the point of my obsession. What is he doing? Where is he going? Who's he talking to? I've seen girls hack dudes' computers, break into people's Instagrams, searching through text messages, because why? They are obsessed. And that obsession is leading to a sickness. That sickness is now breaking apart the very thing that they want to hold together. It's ludicrous, but maybe you're a little bit more like Amnon than you think you are. You know, guys, you go to work, and I don't think any of this has to do with gender. I'm just using this as examples. Guys go to work, and somebody gives you a little bit of attention or, you know, looks really good, and then all of a sudden a thought comes in. Man, if I could just have her, maybe I'd be happy. And then that thought keeps on running, and now all of a sudden I'm obsessive. Now I go home, and my interest in my wife is diminished. My marriage is becoming sick because I've diverted my attention from what God's called me to something God hasn't called me to, and I've become lust sick. See, I think we're more in this camp than we would ever try to admit. Anything that produces an obsession in your relationship is going to lead to sickness. And once that obsession takes root, here's what I want you to understand. Your obsession will lead to your depression. I see this 100 times over. People get obsessed about things in a relationship. It always leads to depression. Because why? The focus is on oneself. We try to act like it's about the other person. Well, I just want to, you know, the girls, I just want to keep him accountable. So you think your accountability is going to control him? Well, what does controlling do? Controlling makes you feel better about what? He can't hurt you. So the whole reason you're doing it is back to numero uno. And the more you focus on yourself, the more you obsess on oneself, the more deflated you become on the inside. The more deflated you become on the inside, because the pressure from the outside is greater than the pressure on the inside, the more depressed you become. But not only that, the more we use somebody else for our own benefit, the consequences is depression. I want you to understand that. That's why one of the number one symptoms of pornography addiction is deep and very dark depression. Because when we use somebody for our own personal gratification, we reap the consequences of that in our own self. Listen, you have to understand, whatever you get obsessed about in your life, it's going to lead to a sickness. And this is exactly where Amnon has found himself. He's got obsessed with something, and now he's sick because of it, and people are starting to notice. Well, one of the advisors, Jonadab, he sees, and he goes, Amnon, what is going on with you? You're the king's son. You have everything. You have no reason to be sad. You have no reason to what? He's seen the depression and the sickness on him. Why do you feel this way? And he begins to tell him, listen, I'm in love with my sister Tamar. Now all of a sudden, this advisor, Jonadab, what a joker, okay? He begins to give a strategy and a plan. He says, here's what you do. You go fake sick. When your dad comes to see you, tell him, I want Tamar to come in and bake me some food and feed me and do all this kind of stuff. And then once everybody's gone, I mean, just basically have your way with her. And I read this story, and I just want to ask, who the heck is Jonadab? I don't like this guy. Like, as a dude, I want to hit this guy. Like, I'm like, what is this guy with his advising? Like, where did this guy come from? Like, what is this guy's problem? Like, he didn't need that. He needed a friend. He needed somebody to tell him this is not good. Do you need me to slap you? You know, what do you need? You know what I mean? Like, I'll do anything but help you do this. But he doesn't do that. He actually leads him down the path he's already on. And I asked God, I said, God, what on earth is that all about? He goes, well, you ever heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together? See, when we fell into lust, lust comes from pride. Here's the deal. The spirit that you carry, you attract in your life. You will find, here's what lust does. Lust looks for an advocate. It doesn't care how stupid the advocate is. It doesn't care where they come from, what's going on in their world, how smart they are. It's just looking for somebody to give me permission that I can do what I already wanted to do. And let me tell you, the devil's real slick. He'll make sure he'll bring the perfect advocate in your world to give you permission to do what you always want to do. And I just look at Amnon, and I'm like, why are you taking advice from this guy? Like, that's a question I have for a lot of people in relationships. Like, here's the best advice I can give you. Don't take advice from people you want to trade places with. So in your relationships, like, guys, I'm telling you, like, there's a few places you probably shouldn't take, like, relational advice from. Like, if you don't want to wind up where they are, don't take advice from that person. Like, that'd be like going to like, hey, I'm gonna start a business, and you go talk to somebody who's bankrupted four businesses and now is homeless. Like, you may learn what not to do if you're really smart, but you're probably not gonna learn a whole lot of success, you know, from that. Like, but I see people doing this relationally, because the reason they're going to those people for advice is because they just want to do what they want to do. So I'm looking for an advocate. I'm looking for permission. So I'm not going to sit down with people who are going to tell me the truth. I'm going to sit down with somebody who celebrates my stupidity. All right, back to the Bible. All right, here I want to give you a couple places you probably shouldn't go for relational advice, okay? Fortune cookies. I met this guy at the gym. He is so cute. God, is this you? And then you're eating, you know, Kung Pao chicken, and you're like, the force is with you. Like, is this Star Wars fortune cookie? God, I don't know, but it's a sign. It's a sign. I'm moving forward. Ladies, you shouldn't go to Cosmo for relational advice. Don't go to the world for suggestions on how to fix your marriage, your relationships, God's way. What you're going to get is just a whole bunch of gossip. It may feel good for a moment, but it's not going to lead to love. It's going to lead to lust. How about this one? I'm going to poke on this for just a moment here for a little bit because I see a lot of this. Horoscopes. Or astrology signs. Like, oh, he's a Capricorn. Oh, my God. Like, I pull up people's social on profiles. Like, and I see this stuff, like their little sign. I'm like, what's the point in putting that sign? Like, oh, you're fishing. You're hoping, like, you know, what? The stars, the universe, you know what I mean? Like, the alignments of the, what a load of rubbish. Can I tell you, just real honestly, the Bible says that there's demonic spirits behind all that. And Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to give it to you straight because I don't want you getting caught up in something flirting around with the devil. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. The serpent shows up to Eve. If you look up that root word in the original Hebrew, serpent means the divinator or a spirit of divination. The spirit of divination means one who speaks with God without for God without his authority or his truth. So the snake comes to Eve and says, did God really say? And then what does he say? No, God said. Fill in the blank. Can I tell you anything that's talking to you about your future other than the Spirit of God, the people of God, and the Word of God is a spirit that is not of God and is going to lead you down a path you don't want to go. We don't make decisions based on the universe and astrology. Here's the best advice I can give you. You got to have this declaration. God's Word will be my relational guide. Nothing else. Not Cosmo, not astrology, not... fortune cookies, not my crazy Aunt Sally who's been through 3 marriages and is bitter. It's going to be God's Word because God made relationships. He designed relationships. He is love. Without His Word, all we're going to get is lust and no love. And that's what happens to Amnon. He pulls his sister in and he grabs her. She brings him the food. He grabs her and he says, come to bed with me. And she says, no, hold on. We don't have to do this. This is wicked. There is a right way to do this. Just go talk to King David. Go talk to your dad, and he won't refuse you being married to me. But he wouldn't listen to her. Because love blows through God's design and order. Lust blows through God's design and order. What is she saying? There's a design to how this is supposed to work. It's this thing called marriage. Let's get married. And this won't be wicked. Like, there's an order to this thing. But lust doesn't care about God's order. It wants God's results without the pathway God has laid out. That's what lust does. But in the end, it just leads to destruction. Here's what I need you to understand. If you break God's order, your life will always be out of order. Here's what I mean by that. It's like going to the soda machine. And you want to get a beautiful Coke Zero because you're washing your figure. And you keep on going to, and you put the coin in and you press Coke Zero and nothing comes out. Nothing comes out. You're just so frustrated. Why isn't this working? I put the money in. I put the effort out, but I'm not getting the result that I wanted. So we go back to it the next day and the next day. Well, when we break God's order, our life will always be out of order. God's word helps us put an out of order sign on the areas that we shouldn't go to anymore. Helps us step back away from them and do it God's way. Ladies in here, gentlemen in here, if you have godly convictions to wait till you're married and the person that you are in love with is pushing you to break those convictions, that's not love. Bible says love is patient. What you are in is you are in lust. And anybody who won't honor your convictions won't honor your convictions later. I want you to hear that again. If they won't honor your convictions today, they won't honor your convictions tomorrow. And I see people, they blew through God's order. Then they get married. And 2 years later, one of them has an affair, the other one has an affair. And they're just flabbergasted. They have no idea. How did we get here? How did this happen? I go, easy. You both trained each other to not care about each other's convictions. So, honey, listen. Bro, look at me. I get it might feel good in a moment, but if you really love him, you won't train him to step out of love because it's convenient. Because you're training him to fall into it right now. Get some integrity to your life. That's what she's saying. Amnon, we don't have to go down this path. There's a right way to do this. But what? Lust refuses and it just blows through it. And we know the rest of the story. He grabs her because he's stronger than her. He rapes her. See, lust will always take you further than you ever wanted to go, to do things you never dreamed you would actually do or actually conceive that you're possible. But I want you to see that this is the verse in this whole story that blew me away. It's shocking because here's the end result of where lust leads us. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15. Then Amnon hated her with an intense hatred. See, when lust rules our life, it hurts others, but it ultimately hurts us. Because hurt people hurt people. And hateful people produce more hate. And what this tells me is that he hated her because she'd become the object that was supposed to satisfy him. But when she couldn't, he hated her. And you know what it tells me about himself? He hated himself even more than he hated her. He hated that he couldn't satisfy himself outside of God. This is the essence of rebellion, that I can find fulfillment in something else but Jesus Christ. That somebody can complete me and make me whole. Nobody else can do that but God. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. See, here's the thing about lust. Lust always leaves you worse than it found you. It's a great robber of all great things in our life. That's why a guy or a girl can sit in front of a computer and watch pornography and it feel and seem and experience be awesome. Bible says sin has pleasure for a season. But the wages of sin is death. You know what I found is some people's lust doesn't last 20 minutes in front of a screen or one night in a hotel. It lasts for a couple years. The difference is that the hatred that you walk out of it with, the pain that you walk out with, because lust, it always take you further than you thought it would. It always make you hate more than you would. Because why? Nothing outside of you can ever fulfill what only God can. So you'll hate it. You'll hate yourself. That's why somebody can stand at an altar and look across at somebody that they thought that they loved with all their heart and make a declaration, I will love you for all of my life till death do us part. And 2 years later, that person has become the person in the world that they hate the most. Because once lust wore off, the only thing that remained was to hate. Because lust can't sustain. Lust can't heal. Lust can only take. And when you take and you take and you take in a relationship, relationships are like a bank account. They have a balance, and creditors will come. And when you make deduction after deduction after deduction without deposit, 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 you get bankruptcy. And bankruptcy leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to anger. Anger leads to rage and the whole onslaught after that. Here's what I'm trying to say to you is God wants to bring great liberty to your life, but you got to get God's order. You got to get God's word out in front of you, because I'm telling you, the love that it produces in your life is a love that's patient, a love that's kind, a love that doesn't envy, it does not boast, it does not rejoice in evil, but celebrates in the good. It rejoices in all things and hopes all things. Love never fails and never gives up. It's a love that only God can produce in our relationships. And I'm telling you what, I followed lust enough in my life. Here's what I'm trying to say today. This isn't a message for you guys. It's a message for me. It's not if I have a problem, it's that I got a problem. And the way we deal with the problem is to first go, you know what? I acknowledge I have a problem. Whatever we acknowledge, God can heal. whatever we identify, God can deliver. And I'm telling you what, God wants to give you a life. Hey, sometimes it's going to be denial of self. Sometimes it's going to get low. Serve, give. Don't think about yourself first. You know what I mean? Live to God's word. Have boundaries in your life. But I'm telling you what, the price that you pay from lust, it can't even compare to the reward you get from true love. Love God's way. I'm telling you, it conquers a multitude of sin. It overcomes death, hell, and the grave. I mean, love is who God is. It'll change you from the inside out. And I believe today in this room, God wants to help you overcome lust. We don't use objects. We don't use people to bring satisfaction to our souls. That's God's department. I only look to God for those things. And the minute that I look to somebody else to satisfy my soul, I've moved into lust.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.